You are now listening to the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, lift, and live. With your hosts, Meg, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
In this episode of the Project, me and Dr. D talk about, for the first 20 minutes, we discuss people and pleasing people and saying no during COVID. Then we get into the self-gratification of pleasing people and being a people pleaser. And we also talk about social masks and how to unmask some people. So, with that said, enjoy the episode and don't forget to leave us a rating and review.
All this and more in today's episode.
In this episode of The Project, the greatest goddamn psychologist in Kuwait and in the Middle East, and the number one host with the most, me, of course. I love doing that.
We have to add that in. Well, thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm welcoming everybody to the number one show in the GCC and the Middle East. Yes, we rock the mic, definitely.
Whoa.
If your family and friends haven't heard of us, then that just means we do really suck. I'm just joking. How you doing, Dr. D?
I'm good. I'm better than the last time we talked. My God, I'm still having pain. My sciatica, I don't understand why I have a hard time with this.
Oh my God, now I can't remember it. Oh my God, are you kidding me?
My sciatic nerve.
Sciatic nerve. Oh my God. I hope I'm saying it right. Please correct me if I'm wrong, anyone.
I can't believe I can't say it. Anyways, I went to the place you told me. Amazing people. And she was really great. And she checked my nerve, checked my back, really took a whole hour of explaining things to me. Put some needle in there to like kind of release the nerve from the back. And still I have that. You know, it's not a pain. It's like numbness down your left leg. But
yeah,
but it's so funny. It's so funny. You know what's so funny? It's like I have this pain. As soon as I go into her office, I'm into her room. And she's like, does it hurt here? No. Does it hurt here? No. I was thinking, she probably thinks I was like lying. I don't know what happens. Like you go in. I mean, does anybody like have that feeling where like you're sick, but as soon as you go to your doctor, suddenly
all
like,
the time.
You don't feel
it. Same here. All the time. Are you kidding? It's like, I always do that. I'm like, are you shitting me? Now it doesn't hurt? Like when I need it to hurt the most? And they're always like, no, this happens all the time. It's probably a mental thing. You know what I mean? Like,
is it really? I don't know.
Pain in general is a mental thing. I mean, think of kids. Like kids that have an operation or whatever, they're not jolted up with all the drugs that adults are given. You know what I mean? Like kids don't get all these crazy pain meds. Their pain threshold is way higher because it's a mental thing. When we get to be adults, it's like you get a little bit of pain and...
It was definitely a mental thing. I mean, obviously I was feeling it, but it's so funny. Like she's like twisting me. Is it here? No. I was like, okay, pain, where are you exactly? So I mean, I'm here to get help. And then she's like, don't worry. I'm like, is it really normal that I'm not feeling anything now that you're like stretching me? And she's like pushing on my leg, especially the left leg. I'm like, yeah, kinda. I don't know. I'm like, yeah, kinda that hurts, you know? And I was like, my God, I came here to get help. And now when I really need the pain, so I can really express it to her. And suddenly I was like, kinda here. But she was amazing, actually.
That's cool.
But you know, I always wonder, like, shout out to, can we say?
Not her. Shout out to Fatma Jimaf for recommending the best places for you to go to in Kuwait. Seriously. Fatma Jim was a staple in the physical therapy field here for, I think, like 10 years or something. Ooh. And, you know,
Wow. Her
and her husband during COVID, or like right when they opened up the airports, they decided to leave Kuwait for good, which was a shock. She managed two of the best clinics here in Kuwait. I knew her years ago at one of the clinics here in Kuwait, and it was sad to see her and Ruben leave. Ruben was on the show. Her and Ruben were on the show, I think, last November, if I'm not mistaken. And he's a genius, and so is she. Thank you, Fatma. Hopefully, Dr. D's problems.
That brings up another question. Like, why do people leave? Like, why did she leave? Like, I hear a lot of people during COVID, they left, and they left for good. Is it because you thought that they were scared? Or, you know, when I hear, like, I mean, especially, like, some people have been here forever that I didn't feel like they would ever leave. just yesterday I heard about this person who left. I'm like, really? Why would this person leave? Like, he had a good job. I don't know. I mean, is there a particular reason why people were leaving during COVID?
Well, I mean, if you really think of it, I think a lot of things were exposed with social media during COVID, and especially in the employment field. And look, I know a lot of employers that treated their employees really badly as soon as COVID rolled around. And it's really shitty to see, especially here, where the government funds so much of these organizations anyways and gives them contracts and everything. And even with the schools, these horror stories I heard about teachers assistants that got fired and no indemnity and their, you know, residencies canceled right away. Like, these people have lived here their whole lives. So if I had the means to move to another country and I heard these stories firsthand, I'd be gone. I wouldn't want to raise my kids here. I mean, let's be realistic. I know people that left and moved to Dubai just because socially it was easier to live there and they didn't face all of the racism that they face here. I mean, come on, let's be realistic. No one ever talks about the elephant in the room in Kuwait. It's a very racist society. Yeah. And it's sad because there are better parts of it that aren't racist, and it sucks. And I think you saw a lot of people, reality set in. You know, I think that's what it was. And I had my contractor, he even said to me, he said, we stopped taking contracts right now because we don't know what's going on. We can't find good employees. We can't find good subcontractors. We can't find good carpenters anymore. We can't find good masons. I think he said the Indians left because they couldn't be cremated. So they were worried if they died, you know, they couldn't cremate their bodies. So they all up and left, which makes sense, you know, if it's for religious beliefs. And, you know, he was like, the other part, we have a lot of other people that were, they just couldn't renew their visas or they couldn't renew their residencies or do any of this. It's a shitty situation. It's, it's sad.
I mean, it is. It is scary. And I could, I mean, even like, you know, at the institution, a lot of the educational institution, I heard there was a lot of people let go. And, but you know what saddened me is like there were people that I knew for a long time. Like, we didn't know that they left or that they've left and send them an email saying that they are leaving. And you know, you don't have a proper goodbyes and, you know, you don't know what the reason is. And maybe you're right. I mean, a lot of expats specifically, they were really worried about their, I mean, especially elderly, they're worried about their health and would they be able to get the proper health care. But you know, the other people that have lived all their life here, like I have this person, she was like, but all my life I lived here. I mean, my country is not my country because I've never really lived there. And now she's facing this situation where she's got to leave if they're unemployed. And even this new rule that where you're over 60, you cannot renew your visa or whatever. And that's even like, you know, I have this other friend who I publish a lot of stuff. And she's like, you know, my dad is over 60, is going to be 60. His visa has to be renewed or iqama has to be renewed by December, but they might not renew it. Can you imagine all your life you're living here and suddenly your dad is facing with this, which means she can't stay here anyways. And the unpredictability of like, if you lived all your life here, you didn't live as much in the US or wherever you are from. So you don't really feel. I had this other woman saying, you know what, doc? This is my home. Like my home, I don't have anything there. Yes, we have a house that my other relatives living in it, but that's it. Like I've only gone to my country as a visit and now suddenly I have to go and live there. You know, they don't know anything about it. They don't know what the job market is going to look like. So it is scary for a lot of people actually. And you know, this stability of how much can these small companies really sustain themselves, and which is the same issue that the US is facing right now. You know, small owners or small businesses are really suffering because there's not a lot of compensation or relief coming toward this. So a lot of people are going to close and they don't know what to do. Unemployment is high everywhere. So, you know, sometimes I feel like, thank God, like my job is secure and I'm in a field that really is, you know, needed.
Yeah.
But still, like, you know, you've got teachers, like you said, teachers that have left and can't come back or have left their homes. And it is sad everywhere. So maybe this is the reason why a lot of people left. But these other people, like, maybe they didn't feel safe here during COVID, you think? Or maybe they felt like the country wasn't dealing with it?
Maybe.
Which I thought it was, but I don't know. Or maybe felt like, you know, this was a crucial thing. You probably want to go back to be with your family in case anything happened.
Yeah.
Maybe having family. A lot of expats don't have families here. So maybe they wanted to go and be with their family. I mean, I don't know what Fatima's issue was, but you're right. Especially trainers, right? on their job unpredictable right
yeah.
now. Are people?
There's a lot of trainers that I know that have taken off and they've left Kuwait just because of A, you know, the whole COVID thing. They couldn't train people. They lost money. And it's sad, but it's like shit happens. I mean, I think there will be a bounce back, but I also think we as in Kuwaitis, have to do a little bit more to ensure that expats feel comfortable in Kuwait, you know, like in Dubai. You go to Dubai and everyone's equal. Everyone's the same. Everyone's treated on the same playing field. And if you're a Kuwaiti listening to this show and you're saying, oh, Mehdi, you're full of shit. Well, you know what? You're full of shit because that's not how it is in Kuwait. The reality is that's not how it is. It's not sunshine and rainbows. It's not sunny all the time in Kuwait. There's a lot of shit that goes on that we don't talk about. And I think it's going to drive more and more people away. Yeah. So, I mean, like I was saying, everybody lives in a bubble. And they don't want to accept that we treat expats like shit. And that is the reality of it. I mean, if you're not white and your name's not John or Mike or Mr. Smith, okay, then you're not going to get the same treatment as everybody else. I mean, let's be realistic.
Do you really think that happens in Kuwait, though? I mean, racism does exist, but do you think certain expats are preferred over other expats?
I think it happens all over the Middle East, in the world.
Of course. Oh, you think?
Yeah. I think it happens all over the world.
But I'm sure it happens in Dubai. You're making a statement that in Dubai, everybody's...
I don't know. It's not as amplified in Dubai because you have such a mixture of different cultures.
But I'm sure the expats the same way. I'm sure the Americans are treated much better than the Europeans. The Asians are treated differently.
Maybe.
Don't you think?
Look, maybe. I haven't lived in Dubai, but I know friends that moved out of Kuwait to Dubai, very close friends. And they said, they were like, yeah, we're never moving back to Kuwait. You know, they lived here their whole lives. They moved and they're like, you know, you walk around the mall and you're not stared at differently. If you bump into somebody that's a local, they don't give you a snark and whatever. And
that might be true, but you're compromising. But that's true.
You feel different.
But they're a lot more accepting because there's so many different people. So you don't have to worry about the way you look or, you know, they're a little bit more free. But to be honest, I mean, I've gone to Dubai so many times. It is way too expensive. There is also a price you have to pay for living there. If you want to be able to enjoy all the luxury,
100%,
I mean, in order for you to live in Dubai and enjoy the lifestyle, you have to be making a lot of good money, which is something we don't have to compromise here. Because we don't have all the bars and the entertainments that they have there. Here, if we do anything, it's more local. So we don't have to spend as much money.
But Dr. D, you weren't here during the heyday of like the mid to late 90s to early 2000s, where Kuwait had a lot of expats in it. You know, there were a lot of Americans here. There were a lot of British people here. Life was different. If a kid went to UAS, ASK, AIS, any of the private schools, they would mix and mingle with different cultures. There was no racism. There was nothing. And then all of a sudden, Kuwait just started, a lot of expats started leaving because of the racist culture and the othering. Okay. Othering. Big word that I learned from AUK, othering of people. And you know what? There's a big local company, and I'll say it, I don't care, Nestle, because I know people that work there.
No, they left.
They said they might leave Kuwait. Apparently, they might leave operations in Kuwait. Like, they could still operate Kuwait without being here.
But I think the big operations went to Dubai, right?
Yeah.
I had a friend that left,
Yeah, the big operations went to Dubai. And part of what they did in some of their market research was a lot of expat families are leaving, and you're stuck with... single men. You're stuck with the Azab, the single men that are staying in Kuwait because A, they're deeming Kuwait not fit for their families to live here and too expensive and not worth it, you know? And think of it, like, if I had a family, I wouldn't want them, you know, in Kuwait if I was an expat with all the racist stuff that's going on, everything that's surfaced over the last year. I mean, that's the reality of it. And a lot of people will point fingers at me and say, oh, you know, Mehdi's painting a bad picture of Kuwait. Mehdi's doing this. But you know what? Shit, that's reality. Okay? Like, we don't want to accept reality, even in real life. And this is the reality.
I mean, I do know that a lot of people live in a bubble. I know that every time I teach about prejudice and racism, it's like you always get these. I mean, they're either scared to say that that exists here. Like, just 2 days ago, somebody was presenting, you know, one of my students who's Asian. And he's talking about racism and prejudice. And he brought all the examples from the West. So I said to him, can I ask you a question? During COVID, you being Asian, did you experience any? No, I didn't. I'm like, okay, so all the examples you're bringing in are from the West. You know, people want to stay very, very safe in regards to talking about prejudice and discrimination and making it more into something that happens in the US, for example. So I said, during COVID or during quarantine, you did not experience anything at all. Or did you read anything on Instagram, methylene, or, you know, did you see people? Why were they sending people back? You know, no, I don't really look into it. Come on. The idea of like this defensiveness that I was asking him about, why don't you look into your own population or where you live? And then I mentioned, can you tell me why certain areas were quarantined longer than other areas? And he's like, so when you probe into things that are like, you know, he's like, oh, I didn't know those areas. Come on. Everybody knew these areas and everybody knew that why these areas, despite maybe there is a fact and spike. And
their numbers were low. Their numbers were low. The big numbers were coming from the Kuwaiti areas. We all know this. It pissed me off. It drove me to high hell that in the areas where the numbers were so fucking high, they weren't quarantined. What the fuck? Are you fucking kidding me? Why would you do that? That makes no sense to me. Sorry.
No, it's true. And you're right. And this student was so particularly defensive because I said, well, can you tell me why? And he's like, well, because there's labor. So once you probe a little bit, then I'm like, okay. So I said, but do you know that just a month ago, the survey came out and it says that most people that are, their numbers were high, were not actually in the expat areas. They were more in the Kuwaiti areas. I mean, there was just a survey and I'm not making up things.
Why do you think they started taking nationality out of it? You know how they used to give the numbers and they'd give the breakdown of nationality? Why do you think they took nationality out? Oh, then, all right, we'll just do areas. And then it's like, oh no, let's take the areas out because we're going to the more Kuwaiti dominant areas. And I knew an expat that was in Mahbula. He was in lockdown, okay, British guy. He was fuming. He was like, as soon as this is over, I might leave Kuwait and never come back because this is ridiculous. He was seeing the numbers and he was like, why are we being punished for others that are out there that aren't adhering to the laws? And I went out during Eid, during the two-hour walk period. Me and Haya went out. The roads were empty. No one was walking. They were all in their frigging cars going to their families. And they took the 4 hour, whatever it was, to go to the chalet. Are you shitting me? Like, are you kidding me? That's what ruined it all. In my opinion, the government did everything really well. The people could not follow the rules. And look at what's going on, even now.
And they're still not following the rules. I was just telling you, today I was on TV, a Majlis, and this is what the topic was. So the question is that, what do you do? And I just posted something just a day ago about, you know, the constant question I get to be asked, and a lot of my patients, you know, they're so, confrontation, as I said before in these shows, is that confrontation is very difficult. We talked about myself, how to confront my two trainers. But the point is that we live in a culture that's very, very sensitive. And more frequently and often this week or maybe the last month, I've been asked, Doc, how do I deal with someone inviting me? I know that these people have a lot of gatherings. How do I say no to them without losing their friendship or getting my family upset at me? Mahdi, it's a difficult situation because we live in a culture that they love to socialize. They're living in a bubble that just because quarantine or curfew is removed, suddenly everyone thinks that we are safe and found. So the question constantly I'm asked about, what do I say? How do I say to this person, I'm not really comfortable coming over to your house? And a lot of people are not saying no because they are thinking that I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. I'm going to go instead of thinking, well, I'm not going to jeopardize my life or put myself at risk because I have elderly parents or I have kids in this house. So it's not that they were gathering during Eid when they weren't supposed to. People are even gathering now, and there are a lot of people that are going to these gatherings that don't want to go. I had a client the other day said, do you know I was bullied because I wore my mask the whole time I went to this family thing? And I'm like, why? You're doing the right thing. So nowadays, we're bullying people that are really following the rules and being following the guidelines of the Ministry of Health and laughing at them. And instead of saying, you know, commending them for being able to still, you know, be able to be careful. It's not out there. People are like mocking you and saying, come on, why are you wearing your mask? do you think that I have corona? Are you saying that I'm the one sick? And people are taking it so personal that it's making you feel so uncomfortable. I mean, I got invited a couple of days ago, and I mean, granted, I was not feeling good, but I was thinking, I don't know who these people are. So I asked, who's there? How many people are there?
Yeah, which is the smart thing to do.
And then she was like, a couple of my friends. And she's like, none of them you know. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if none of them, she's like, she only mentioned one person I knew. I was thinking, I'm not going to come if it's people that I don't know how many they are. And I'm going to come in there assuming that these people have been following the same guidelines as I am, being very careful. I felt really awkward. So I made up a reason. I'm like, well, I mean, I didn't really lie.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling good because of my back. But still.
But you know what? Can I be honest with you about something? And this is me being honest. And you know me, I don't give a shit about anything. And 2 points I want to talk about. One is Esrat Belushi. She went to AUK with us. I don't know if you remember her.
Yeah.
On Instagram, she's Entrepreneur, OCTAPRENUER, Esrat Belushi. Her father had COVID-19, and I think she tells the whole story on her Instagram page. And this is when it hit close to home, and I've had other friends, and, you know, I'm very careful. I try to be as careful as possible.
Yeah.
And she showed her dad, he got COVID-19. He was high risk. He was an older adult. I guess he was on the respirator thing. So he was unconscious for a few months. He lost blood circulation in his feet and in his hands. She posted the story, and me and Hay were basically in tears. Mm. It was just such a sad thing to see. And for all the people out there who don't take it seriously, go and look at her page.
Yeah.
Go and look at the people that actually deal with this. I know one of my friends who was recently on the show, Armel Shadhan, who said his dad got it. His aunt passed away from it. I have another friend whose aunt passed away from it. And these are the things, the family gatherings or the one encounter you may think that won't hurt you. It's just like sex. It's just like sex and STDs. All right. Yeah. The one time you do it, and you think it's
that
one time, that one time.
That's true.
And then after that, you have a gift that keeps on giving, and you contract genital warts or some crazy thing out there.
It's true.
And
it's very true.
It's because of that one time. People don't think the boogeyman will hit them.
Because people are not really realizing. Plus, my question is to this person that says, Doc, how do I get out of it? I was thinking, why are you jeopardizing your life? Because when you get corona, so I said to him, look, why don't you think about it this way? I go, maybe I have corona, and then I'm going to give it to you, and then I'm going to be responsible for you. But on the other hand, if I get sick, who's going to be around me and take care of my kids while I am sick? Like, people really need to start thinking about what are the consequences that this is going to have on me and my family? Who's going to take care of taking care of my family and be able to support my family financially if I can't go to work?
Yep.
That's more important to me than for me to say yes to someone because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Like, okay, I hurt their feelings this time. I can always make it up later when we go back to a normal life and then we'll be able to gather and do all the things we need to. But because we don't have curfew, I think this is the problem, Mahdi. People think we don't have curfew, which means that we're safe, so let's all go out. And then when you go out and you see thousands of people by the lake and having picnics and there's no social distancing, you really forget that we have corona. It's true. And it's happened to me. Because suddenly I look around, I'm like, well, maybe we don't have corona. Like, so for a split minute, I start to lose reality and realize, well, now I know why people, because they're like, well, everyone is out there. It must be safe.
You got to bounce back into
yes.
it. Yeah. No, you're right.
The same thing as sex, like you said. Everyone's saying, if you can have sex and I never got anything, so it must be safe. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. It's only that one time.
It's only that one time or that one person you don't. I mean, look, my dad looked at me the other day and he goes, oh, your younger sister is going to come over to see the new house. She's in her, you know, 20s. She's my half sister. And he was like, she's going to come over to, you know, see the new house. I love her. I love her to death. She's my sister. I looked at him. I said, no. I said, I don't know who she's been around. I was like, she's a young kid, you know, and my mother's here. DJ has had asthma issues in the past. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know who she's hanging out with. And I know for shit sure most of the kids that I know in their 20s are still hanging around with their buddies and going to Diwania's and doing all this stuff. I heard a story of a kid that went to a Diwania, got COVID-19, gave it to his parents, and his mother died. just because he went to the Diwaniya. And that's the reality of it.
No, I had a client the same way. I had a client just 3 days ago. He said his father just got diagnosed with corona. I'm like, well, I thought you said you guys are not going anywhere. He's like, no, he wasn't going anywhere. And actually, he hasn't been going to any Diwaniyas. But who comes to visit him? His brother.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the uncle.
Yeah.
So the uncle had it without realizing it, gave it to the father. And God only knows the uncle got it from a Diwaniya that he goes to. And I'm like, okay. So he's like, but you know, it's his brother. He can't say, "Not, don't come visit me." I'm like, yeah, you can. This is what I don't understand is people are like forfeiting their own health because they're worried about these relationships that this relationship, if I'm alive, I'll have enough time to repair.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But if I'm dead, I'm not going to have enough time to spend it.
I don't understand why people are so sensitive to the word no.
Yeah, no, a lot here.
Like, I say it all the time. Like, people get so, they get so butt hurt by if you say, oh, no, you can't do this. Well, to me, it's like, dude, you know what? I'm not going to say yes if I really don't want to. That's the way it works.
But Mehdi, everyone is not like you.
That's why people hate me. That's why people don't like me.
You're so assertive and you're straightforward and people are not like that. They might be thinking no, but they're saying yes. And then I'm like, okay, so now you didn't realize that you just put yourself. But then when you go, I'm uncomfortable because I really didn't want to go. I went because I don't want to hurt my friend's feelings. And therefore, I'm not enjoying my time anyways because I don't know. I'm cautious. I'm not sitting close to the people. So technically, I went to this place, to this gathering, so I can have fun. And then I didn't. And then I worry. And then I think about it. And then I come back. It's a lot of work, Mehdi. It's not worth it.
Yeah, no, it's understandable.
Saying no was much easier for me than saying yes, but thinking no. And then trying to please my family. And you know, I have another person that I work with. And she's like, because during the second aid, her parents were going out and they were having gatherings. She didn't go. But since then, she's been locked herself in the room because she feels like unsafe even in her own house because she's already has paranoia, anxiety.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, no. And she has stopped going to work. And I'm like, why? Because I think she's taken her social responsibility a little too far. But still, the idea is like, look, I've been around my parents, even though I've been in my room most of the time. I don't know who I'm going to give it to. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do this. So people are starting to freak out because other people we live with are also being selfish. They're not being socially responsible because we assume that, you know, the people we hang out with are clean. I mean, seriously, like, how are you going to know that they have it or don't have it? Especially with the asymptomatic people, you don't know. And people are also rushing the sense of, I want to be normal. Look, my kids are taking school virtually. We're not normal. As long as we're doing everything online, it can't be that normal. And so it's like,
yeah, that's true.
I think it's this rushness. I want to be normal, doc. I just want to be able to live my life like before. We have to accept the reality. Life is not going to be the same. And I think a lot of people are resistant to that.
I want to rewind a little bit something you said about pleasing people and always wanting to please people. Now, you'd said this when we were talking about, like, we were going to discuss in this show and it was going to be like saying how to say no, especially during COVID-19 and pleasing people. Why is it so hard to please people? I mean, why is it so hard?
Why is it so hard? It's not hard to please people.
No, no, it actually is. But why is it so hard not to rationalize the feelings of, I do want to please them, but at the same time, I want to help myself. Why is that so hard? Why can't we just say, you know what? Let me please myself before I please them. Does that make any sense?
Yes, because no. And I think one of the reasons is because in nature, we want to be liked by other people, and especially with people that don't really have a lot of confidence and they're insecure about who loves them and doesn't love them. And, you know, and people that have been raised to believe that their love is conditional. So if you've already been raised in a family where you know that you're going to be loved no matter what you do or what your behavior looks like, then those people we don't worry about because they already know what love is and it's unconditional. But the majority of people, to be honest, they are raised to believe that in order for you to be loved, you got to give to the person. So saying yes to your gathering means that I'm going to get approval from you. And so if all your life you've believed that no one's going to love you unless you do what they tell you, those are the people that are not saying no. Those are the people that are going to gathering because they feed on this love of somebody else's approval. And so we're very quick at being able to you know, want to get approval so I can be approving myself. And it should work the other way around. It's like, I should say to myself, look, I'm the only one that can really love myself truly. I should love myself unconditionally. And everyone else is a reward for me. But that's not the way people look at it. They're thinking, I want to be loved by these people, and therefore that will make me love myself.
Do you like people pleasers? Personally, I can't stand people pleasers.
I can't stand them, to be honest. No, I can't.
Oh, that's
no,
awesome.
I can't. No, because I feel like, you know, they're spending a lot of time trying. I mean, and sometimes I even see it with my own clients, for example. Like,
but isn't that fake? Wouldn't that be,
of course,
like a little bit of fakeness? If you're a people pleaser, then you're obviously fake. You know, you're not being your real self.
Of course. And that's the problem. The problem is that a lot of people have been fake for so long that they don't even know how to be unfake, right? So this is
90% of our society.
Yes. I mean, you know, remember that if you're raised to be fake so you can get the approval of your parents, and then you learn to do that with your teachers and your peers, then you go to work and you do it. So this pseudo self, it becomes part of you. And then now you can't even differentiate that this is your real you or not. And that's why people come to therapy. And then I'm like, well, it's not the way you are, or this is not your values, and you are engaging in behaviors. And then they're shocked because they're like, well, I thought this was me. I thought I am supposed to approve, you know, get people's approval. I thought that, you know, being liked by other people is very important. People don't really sit and evaluate what their value system is. When you've been an actor for such a long time, how are you going to differentiate when you're being the observer and when you're the actor? And it's very, very difficult, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so pleasing people, and actually in this part of the world, I think in our society, we've constantly been given messages that it's important what other people think of you. It's important their values, their beliefs of you. So when you grow up in that belief, what are you going to do? Of course, you're going to please people. But if someone can...
How can we see someone's true identity? Like, how can we get people to remove their social masks? Like, I've always known that your social mask is stripped in a moment of stress or in a high tension moment. That's when you see where people's loyalties really lie and what their true self is. And
right.
I've seen it in sports. I mean, I think sports is the best place, in my opinion. This is why I think every kid should play sports or play on a team, because you can see someone's character when they're under pressure, when they're losing by 20 points. I mean, you really see someone's real character in those moments. And it's just like in emergencies in real life, you see their true characters. For me personally, in an emergency, I used to freak out. Now I kind of try to remain calm, deal with the situation, freak out after. But I mean, everyone's different.
But you know what? After a while, I mean, in my belief and my experience as a psychologist, I think after a while, it get caught up with you. And then you're starting to realize your hypocrisy. And that's why people get panic attacks and get anxiety and depression. Because you can't have this like facade for such a long time without having it taken a toll on you. I mean, just yesterday, I told this person in a session, I said, it must be hard to be you. And he's like, why? I said, because even now with this session, you're trying to convince me and make excuses for me instead of really looking at the problem. And so if you live all your life trying to live this lie, this person like lies about, because it's not because he's lying. It's not the same lie. It's the idea that he has to pretend that he has more money than other people. And he has to pretend that he has all these degrees. And,
ouch.
And he has to pretend that he comes from a wealthy family. Like, really? And then I'm like, I'm just tired listening to you. So this is the way he's all his life has lived. This is the way his parents also presented themselves to other family members. And now, but now he's realizing that this, I mean, he knows that he's being fake and he knows that he has to lie. But his ideas is like, no, because if I get, I'm like, it sounds to me like if he get exposed because you have the secret that you've been hiding, that's his biggest fear, is being exposed, right? Someone will catch up with you anyways. And this, yeah, this sense of like someone is going to find out I'm lying or someone is going to expose me, it causes a lot of anxiety in a person that they're never going to be able to achieve that sense of tranquility. That's why you have to be able to understand that this is taking a toll. So I was trying to help him understand this is taking a toll on you, you know, and people are not that stupid. People are going to catch up, right? And people are probably realizing that a lot of your story doesn't jive, and that you really need to start realizing that maybe your true self is not that bad. But when people get this message that the true me is bad and no one's going to accept me, that's when we start putting this facade on. And we learn it from childhood. We see our parents being fake, and we learn, we get this internal, like unconscious message that you gotta have this portfolio in order for you to get people's acceptance. One of them is this message that we always constantly get. You got to get people to like you. You got to say the right thing. You got to be politically correct.
And that's why all the listeners need to leave us a rating and review, and you will get one of our amazing classic Project t-shirts that says, be real, be true, be you on the back
that's
of it.
Right.
Because you know what? If you can't be real, be true, and be you at the end of the day and accept yourself, you're going to have a shitty sleep every night.
Yep.
And that's just my opinion. And
mental illness. They'll have mental illness.
I know.
They'll have insomnia. They'll have physical aches. I mean, right now, if you're in your 20s, you're not thinking about it. But think in your 30s and 40s, you're going to fall apart.
100%. That is so true.
People really need to understand, like, just like insomnia, like people like, I've always been insomnic. I'm like, okay, do you understand if you don't take care of it? Most people that are at risk of heart diseases and all these medical problems, plus mental health, has something to do with your insomnia.
Not to cut you off, but I just want to share a little story with the listeners. Now,
oh yeah, go ahead, cut me off, no problem. Yeah, okay.
Dude, you cut me off all the time,
all the time.
No, you brought up a good point. I really want to say this before we have to wrap up, because I have to do the second part of DJ schooling. I usually do Arabic, which is the second part of the day, which is horrible. He hasn't listened to Haya. She almost came out in tears. Like, this whole homeschooling thing sucks.
It's terrible. We have to do an episode on this, to be honest.
Oh, we're doing that. We're doing that next time. But I just want to share this story with listeners. And I am the type where, like, I wake up multiple times at night to go to the bathroom or to grab a drink or to grab something to eat. And lately, over the last week and a half to 2 weeks, I've made it a point. Usually in my workouts, I'm miserable. No one talked to me. If Haya talks to me, like, I give her this scowling face of like, get the F out of here. And like, I'm just the total dick. And over the last week and a half to 2 weeks, I've been warming up. You know, I've been making it a point not to be a jerk, to be as nice as I can be, to be my real self, and to take it easy a little bit. Not only that, I'm actually doing little things to make DJ happy as a dad, the things that I used to do, and you fall out of those habits from time to time.
Right.
So I'm trying to re-engage into those habits and even re-engage as a husband by sending, hey, cute little notes and, you know, little things here and there. And you know what? I have slept perfectly over the last 7 nights. I haven't woken up once. I haven't had any issues with sleeping. And I've been in the greatest moods. And it's just like these little things that we reinforce, the hard things, once we do them again, and we have that self-fulfillment that we need, and we fulfill the ones around us, we're going to feel a lot better at the end of the day. So I just want to share that little story.
It's very true. And I think people need to understand insomnia is a serious problem. People that have difficulty sleeping, they need to really work on it. I mean, somebody was like, 10 years I've had insomnia. Okay, you're 44 now. When it started, maybe it wasn't that big of a deal, but now you really need to start work dealing with it. I'm like, you know, we have medication, we have psychotherapy, you've got yoga, you got relaxation. You can't go on like this because our brain will shut down. And people really need to take it seriously about this insomnia. And I know a lot of people during quarantine, including myself, I had a hard time sleeping because I wasn't as active as I used to be. So I wasn't moving around, and 1 hour of exercise is not enough. But now that we're moving more, people, our body needs to get tired so it can sleep. But if you're sitting watching TV all day and then wondering why you can't sleep at midnight or 1 o'clock, well, then, you know. So I think people really need to start looking into their sleeping and trying to repair it before it has, you know, more damage. So you're right. Sense of accomplishment, little things that you do during the day, this will help you sleep better and not make your brain work when you're sleeping, you know?
And for everyone else out there, you know, it will help you all sleep better. And if you do this, it will definitely help you sleep better. Leave us a rating and review and recommend the show to all of your friends and family. All right. And you might win one of those awesome t-shirts that we have. And if you have any ideas for shows or segments that you would like Dr. D or myself to cover,
yeah, that's a good idea.
Please shoot us, yeah, shoot us a DM. We'd be happy to talk about it, and we might even bring you on the show if you'd like to.
Oh yeah, that's
like, I'll throw that out there.
We do. Let's have different people come on.
Why not? We always do this on Zoom.
But different, like from the community, they can come on. That's a great thing.
That's the beauty about Zoom. Like, we can have anybody on here.
Yep.
So on that note, Dr. D, thank you as always. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in, and have a good one.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram at The Project Kuwait. Thank you, and join us next time.